This hour of the show is brought to you by Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona.
You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show.
Every time we get one of these storms, it's a historic storm. It's the biggest ever. It's the worst ever.
Yeah, they're all catastrophic, life-threatening.
I am so tired of these people hyping everything up. The corporate media, the weather people that just go nuts every time. And here's a good one, and we're going to get into great detail in this one. They always need more money to respond because, you know, climate change. Mm-hmm. So this stuff happens and you need more money. We need more money to respond. There's going to be more of these cases. But if you look further back, and I want to spend some time this first segment here doing that, you look back in history. I mean, I'm not denying climate change because I'll get some emails about that quite frequently. I'm denying that man is causing such a problem that it is such a big issue. But also, if you got past that first step, because there's obviously a lot of people that are out there that believe that you started your car today, and because it was a gasoline car or whatever, or because you have, your heat's natural gas or this and that, that you've caused this. Okay, let's just say that was the case, and that's the truth there. And here comes day number 5 of the blue strike on my YouTube channel, which is just fine. That's okay. But let's say that is the case. Then the next question you have to ask yourself is, what are you going to do about it? It is the biggest joke in the world that you think if America gets rid of all this stuff, and that if America gets, the conveniences, the gas stove and the gas appliances in your vehicle, and you can drive and have freedom and go wherever you want, that the rest of the world's already said no. China and India, they've already said, we're not doing that. So what impact would we have when we're not the ones causing the mass pollution at this point?
Well, because we've already cut back a lot of the pollution.
Yes. Yeah.
So anything you do further is not going to have as big of a change. And I've said this before, about China being the biggest polluter, that no one ever talks about that. And, one ever talks about let's try to influence them in some way or figure out,
They've already said no. They've already said that the climate czar, that John Kerry guy who wasn't aware that he had a jet or something because his wife had it or mm-hmm. whatever that nonsense was. He went over there and Chinese rebuffed him. They said, no, we're not doing anything.
Why would they listen to us anymore?
Yeah, why would they listen to us at this point? They're the second largest economy in the world. They're making everything that you buy out there. And they're not going to stop that. They're not dumb enough.
That's the biggest problem. That's more of a problem than our gas cars and our...
Yeah. And they're not, and you have no control to stop that. And even if you did, you couldn't stop it. So I don't know. So here's, you had Tropical Storm Hillary, which moved up the Baja. It's now since moved, in through California and all that. And here were the headlines just 24 hours ago as quote, unquote here, quote, Arizona Central, USA Today, as the country braces for Tropical Storm Hillary, FEMA head warns disaster relief funding is running low. So the administrator of FEMA, Deanne Criswell, attributed the series of disasters to climate change. Talking about all the things, Maui, the tragedy out in Maui and this and that, saying it has made them, quote unquote, much more intense. Mm-hmm. So they're more intense now. And now the storm rolled through and I saw some pictures of some localized flooding in San Diego. I think Yuma down in south, western Arizona got down trees, things like that. Nothing too earth shattering or anything. Mm-hmm. Floods, things like that, leaves on the ground. That's the biggest thing they could come up with. So it really wasn't, they hyped it up and it really wasn't as historic and world ending as.
Well, it didn't hit as a hurricane, first of all.
No. It's hard to hit as a hurricane.
It
up
hit
there.
Mexico and it killed like one person. It wasn't very devastating there. I mean, it's too bad for the one that died, but as far as devastation it's not as bad as they made it out to be.
Yeah, and I'm not comparing lives here, so I don't need your email coming in and saying, oh, this storm is it because this many died. It's nothing to do with that. It's just I'm sick and tired of the hype, and I'm sick and tired of them trying to make every single thing about climate change out there. The climate's always changing. I know some people, oh, well, come on, but this is different. This is happening so much more rapid.
No. And it's, the last tropical storm in San Diego was like in 97 or something like that.
In where in San Diego? Yeah, the tropical storm. The last hurricane it hit was
like 80 something.
Like Adolf Hitler was in power.
Yeah.
when it happened last time. So this has happened before. I just wish they would, the climate fanatics would just calm down about this a little bit. Things are going to change. They're always changing. I think it's really self-centered. I've said this before, and just like this wacko kind of delusion that people have that they think, oh, this is the, it just happens to be. In what do we got? Like 5,000 years of recorded history for the human race, right? And this right now you're living, you, it's the worst and it's the biggest, it's the craziest than any other time. It's a self-centered delusion that's going on, but that's kind of permeating through our whole society. Everybody thinks they're in a reality show and that they're the star of this show that's going on. I think we're all in the Matrix at this point. So yeah,
it's always about us. That's all it's about.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always just self-centered.
All the time.
So worst ever, we hear that a lot. We hear historic all the time. It's always historic before it hits. And then after it hits, they just like, the story just disappears. So I guess it wasn't that historic because they're not willing to talk about it for very long, right? Earth's been around for about how long? Let's call it 4.5 billion years. I mean, there's some controversy as to the exact dating and all that. I was looking at National Geographic. They said they use, they do radiometric dating, looks at different isotopes, how they degrade or break down over time. It's supposed to be predictable. They use a thermal ionization mass spectrometer. It's more than I can even understand. But they say that the Earth is like 4.5 billion years. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess I'll just have to take them at their word on that. I mean, who really knows, right? But if we look back on recorded history, say we have about 5,000 years of recorded history dating back to like Sumeria. That was Mesopotamia. That's like where Iraq is now, kind of, because it's drastically changed. That Fertile Crescent Valley all in there, it used to be actually way a couple hundred miles north. Because over the millennia, stuff's washed out and it's actually extended the landmass, you know, on and on. Not going to bore you with all those details. But we only have 5,000 years of recorded history, but everything is historic. We know everything. We only have like 150 years, maybe 500 years in some, you know, populous parts of the country and the world where they're actually tracking like these
detailed
things.
Stuff, detailed. Yeah.
But Olivia and I looked this up, the thermometer. The mercury thermometers, like mid-1800s or something like that. We haven't even been measuring temperature too accurately for 60, 70 years. Not even 200 years. But these guys know everything that's happened in history, and this is the worst ever, every time.
Yeah.
It's just nauseating. And, you know, I get tired of hearing it all the time. And I guess people are buying into it because they keep doing it, and they must be getting clicks and the traffic and all that.
You wonder, because, I mean, I always tune that out anyway as far as the sensationalism of it all.
Yeah,
and it's like so catastrophic, and it's like life-threatening. And
every time.
And they say that before the fact that it's life-threatening. But then I don't know how many lives are lost, if any. I really don't.
The only
one
I hope not.
Was the one in Mexico, and it's the only one.
And it's not unusual for a storm.
I don't know if there's been more or not. Yeah. But anyway, it's like the boy who cried wolf phenomenon where they just, it's life-threatening, and all the time, life-threatening, catastrophic. And how many times do you hear that before you just like, you don't even pay attention anymore?
Well,
because
I'm at that point.
Like, it's every other storm is life-threatening.
I'm at that point. You're at that point. I think millions of Americans and millions of people around the world are at that point. But apparently, it's still catching because they're still doing it. People haven't tuned it out and turned it out altogether. Now, I don't want any loss of life, but when storms come through, that happens all the time. It's interesting though that every time it's going to be this big deal when it isn't as huge of a big deal as they predict, they forget about it. Of course, when there's a loss of life, then they're like, see, we told you, and they roll out the so-called experts. Uh-huh. It was the worst ever. It is the worst ever. Here's the body count and here's the carnage, and they're highlight that.
I think yesterday we were talking about it and we're saying how many more people live on the coast and how many more people build their homes on the coast, and maybe a zone that shouldn't have a home on it because it is in a dangerous, precarious spot in the
Yeah, like the outer the outer banks there in North Carolina.
Yeah, or just anywhere.
You're just asking for it.
You know, you're bound to get hit by a storm from time to time, or at some point it's going to happen. And maybe that's not the best place, but it's like it's overlooking the ocean, and it's so I want it there.
People want
and
the ocean
And I don't
care
what it costs.
Yep.
And just the mass of people, the population of people living in coastal areas where it's likely to get hit by storms, that's going to be a factor too. I mean, they never talk about that.
They never talk about that. Yeah, I'll get to that in a bit because I want to hit on where I think this is all going. But just the point of places like the Outer Banks or the cliffs overlooking the Pacific Ocean in California, mm-hmm. where you're in an earthquake zone.
And tsunami zone.
Yeah, if you live down in those low spots, you're going up the Pacific Coast Highway, you see those tsunami warnings all the time. It will happen at some point, and those homes will get flooded. Now, if they have flood insurance, which the taxpayers of America all back up, no private company would ever insure these structures, or it'd be such a high cost that it wouldn't make sense for anybody to build it there. So I think when you start building in these places, and we have a home in a flood prone area, we accept the risk though. I accept that it could get flooded, and I accept that. But I think that's a big part of it. They keep rebuilding and rebuilding. So anyway, I got more here from the administrator of FEMA, Deanne Criswell. She goes on to say the threats we're seeing today are very different than what we saw 5 to 10 years ago. 5 to 10 years ago, right? You know, she's just like, just as a matter of fact, just, you know, a long time ago, 5 to 10 years ago, they are more intense. They are more complex, Criswell said on CBS Face the Nation. What is she? Where do they find these people? The threats
there
today.
Been a tropical storm to hit Southern California in
84 years.
Storm. 26
hurricanes.
Years.
84 years.
Yeah, 26 years since a storm similar to the one that just hit.
Quite
so
frequent.
How do they know that it's more intense than 5 or 10 years ago? Because
there hasn't been any.
five or ten years.
She's maybe talking about all the storms that are hitting, but I mean, come on, Katrina hit. You have hurricanes that hit in the 1800s, early 1900s. This has been going on forever, and they act like this is something new and something different. And I got a study here. We'll get to here in just a second.
Study.
Yeah, one that I think makes a lot of sense, but let's see what you say. But if we go back, so I decided to Google like storms and all that from 10 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. 10 years ago, not very long ago in my world, but according to Criswell, the administrator of FEMA, is that Criswell? No, Criswell, sorry. Administrator of FEMA. You know, she acts like this is so long ago, and it's changed so rapidly because
so
of climate change.
To think
here's just a couple.
Along those terms.
Go Google any year and see all the historic and unbelievable storms, carnage. Every year, there's storms like that all over the world for as far back as you can go. Here's from weather.gov, October 3rd through 5th. This is 2013. Historic blizzard, National Weather Service, unprecedented early season blizzard with driving rain, heavy wet snow, and strong winds struck the Black Hills region October 3rd through 5th, 2013, paralyzing much of the area for several days. So there's a historic storm back in 2013. Super Typhoon Haiyan, 2013, Northern Pacific Ocean. Super Typhoon Haiyan, also called Typhoon Haiyan or Typhoon Yolanda. That's weird. I don't know how they got that. Massive and highly destructive storm in the North Pacific. Okay. Massive and destructive just 13 years ago, but she says it's become more complex and more intense. That seems pretty intense. Mm-hmm. Yolanda. I like Yolanda better. I think that sounds better. Here's another one from the Coloradan.com. Colorado flood 2013. Rare natural disaster, one of Colorado's worst. Just Google this as a thought experiment, just to see how full of crap these people are, that they act like the moment you're in right now, the moment when she needs funding, I should add, it's like, oh, we got Maui, we got this, we got to point to all that. FEMA needs more money now.
It's
and she has the gall
about
to
the money. It always ties it always back is. To that. It's so nauseating.
Yeah. Now, unless we start deleting history, which we actually are doing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we're actually doing that. I would think going back to crying wolf, like what you're saying, Angela, they're going to have a hard time at some point convincing people that it's the worst ever, because you start saying, what did you say worst ever last year and the year before and the year before and the year before? And now we're a little older now. So maybe we're like, okay, Yeah. I heard this before, but you got to keep in mind, there's a lot of new, young, gullible people that get swarmed up into the system, and they need another 10, 20, 30 years to say, wait a second, I thought you said the world was going to end.
The population in general tends to move around a lot more than, you know, kind of historically they did. And so maybe you don't know the past weather of the place that you're now in from 5 years ago, because you've only been living there 2 years.
That's a good point. Well, they're relying on the experts. So the experts say, oh, this is the biggest snow. This is unprecedented.
Like, oh, this tropical storm, you know, just hit me in San Diego and wow, it must be historic. You know, well, but I've only lived there 2 years, so I don't know.
You have no reference point.
You can't remember the one in 97.
Yeah. For me, looking at weather back here in northern Arizona to 1990, that's my reference point. It's the same every, there's cycles that happen. Some years are dry, some years are wet, some years are more windy than others. Mm-hmm. Nothing's really changed that much. But if you just moved here 2 years ago from back east somewhere, from New York or from California, you'd think
this past winter was
apocalypse.
Yeah. And
and it was a big one.
That's the record books.
Yep. But not a record. You have to go back for even further. And there was bigger ones.
Yeah.
And probably much bigger than we realize, because we have such a short glimpse into history, into the past. We haven't been tracking this stuff for very long. All right, I got more on this, and I'd love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. It was nice to see all the rain, though. It rained steady.
Yeah, last night.
Throughout the state. It's it feels like
then
fall.
It rained on Thursday night in Camp Verde when I was there.
Oh, yeah, you had that. Yeah, like, you were worried you were going to get washed away. It was a historic, historic thunderstorm. The dog was worried. The dog was worried. The dog was like, this is history. Yeah. And she's sitting there shivering and shaking.
Yeah, the dog usually doesn't freak too much about thunder and stuff, but it happened at like midnight, 1 o'clock a.m.
Yeah.
And she just was, I don't know if it's just it was dark, and so then she had to come on the bed.
That's funny.
Which almost never happens.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, so for her, in her mind, I mean, she's got a real short history of the world. Uh-huh. She's like, this is the worst thunderstorm ever in the history of all dogs.
Yeah.
All right, I'd love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Go ahead and get your comments. And hey, it is a great time of year to take a nice 30-minute ride from if you're in the Flagstaff area, but really if Verde Valley, you can head on over there, Chino Valley. Head on over to Williams. Great historic area there. And stop on, what's that?
Historic.
It is historic. I can tell you that Miss Kitty's Steakhouse has the best steaks in all of history. There's no doubt about it whatsoever. Miss Kitty's Steakhouse right there on Route 66, former longtime mayor of Williams, John Moore. He's there for you and serving up the best food, best breakfast as well, starting at 7 a.m. all the way to 10 a.m. Get a great breakfast. They probably have steak and eggs too. Best, historically speaking, steak and eggs that you could ever imagine. Head on out to Ms. Kitty's Steakhouse right there in Williams on Route 66. Hang tight. Back in a minute.
This is the Jeff Horowitz Show.
All right, if you get a rock chip in your windshield, I want you to remember to always call Diamond Auto Glass first. This is where Angela and I take our vehicles to get the windshield repaired and, if needed, and we've needed to do this a couple of times, get the windshield replaced. Once you get a windshield replaced at Diamond Auto Glass on 4th Street in Flagstaff, you got lifetime chip repair. No appointment necessary. Most chip repairs take 10 to 15 minutes. Always remember to call Diamond Auto Glass first at 928-779-4140. That's Diamond Auto Glass at 928-779-4140. Or go to thedifferenceisclear.com.
You're listening to the Jeff Horowitz Show.
All right, welcome back. I will switch. I'm going to switch gears for a minute. I'll get back to the climate change carnage and the nonstop corporate media coverage here in just a second. But it is political week, a pretty big political week. You've got Tuesday night. I think it's Tuesday night, right? The Republican debate on Fox. I think that's on Tuesday.
Yeah, actually, I don't know what day it is.
Don't mark your calendar. It's soon.
Yeah.
Trump is not attending. And you've got the other front runners like DeSantis,
Ramaswamy.
Is that how you pronounce his last name? Thank you. I've been asking people that. You're the only one that actually.
I think it's Ramaswamy.
Ramaswamy. I'm going to watch Tuesday, maybe, just to make sure I pronounce his name correctly. He's actually intriguing. I like him.
Yeah.
DeSantis, Ramaswamy. You've got that New Jersey guy, Boss Tweed. I'm sorry. Be respectful. What's his name?
Chris Christie.
And I'm doing this by memory, folks. I mean, bear with me here. Who else we got? Oh, we've got Pence.
Tim Scott.
I mean, are those the five?
It's a girl, too.
Oh, Haley. Let's go with six. Only one girl running. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have a prayer, so Haley's not going to do it. Ramaswamy. He's doing decent. He's kind of had a surge. DeSantis is doing pretty decent as well. I don't blame any of them. I would all stick in there too. You never know what's going to happen with former President Trump. He's going to be
in Georgia this week. So.
Well, he's going to be in Georgia. Yeah, and he did like a pre-taped interview with Tucker that'll air at the same time as this forum debate, whatever. But this week, Trump. Eighteen other defendants are supposed to check in or something.
It says they have until Friday at noon to appear at the Fulton County Jail for processing.
Okay, and they have been pretty stern on no special treatment this time. This may be different. Fingerprinting, mugshots, all that.
It doesn't say what exactly processing means, but we'll see. I guess
it's going to be interesting. Wait, what are you going to do if they? I mean, he's going to make bail and he'll be out of there.
Yeah.
Would you say bail was $200,000or something
for him,
like that?
The others are less.
Let's say out of the 91 charges they have on him so far, and you know, Arizona's looking at things, who the heck knows what's going to happen? Let's say something sticks.
Something will.
Probably will. Statistically speaking, it's unusual to dodge.
Yeah, they're not going to back off.
Yeah, and somebody out of those 18 is going to flip or say something or whatever. You know, you start looking at years or decades in jail, you're like, okay, whatever. I got to do whatever I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. So it's an unpredictable thing. But what are they going to do? Put him in a jail? Could you imagine? Are they going to have a secret service like in the jail cell with him? That's impossible. It's an impossible situation. Right. So I don't know. It's all a circus.
Do him under house arrest, and he's got.
It's going to be exiled like Napoleon. He's going to be like Napoleon and on Elba or something like. He's in Mar-a-Lago.
Maybe.
Could you imagine that?
Yeah. I'd just like to know, like, I mean, it'd be nice to be a fly on the wall in Trump's
inner circle.
Yeah, just to see, like, what if.
Yeah, what's his plan? Yeah, what's he thinking? Yeah. I don't know. This is a crazy. This is just. I will say this is historic. This is one of the most.
Oh, yeah.
But
okay,
even
that's
that.
That's legit historic.
Yeah, but even that ain't true. And I was looking forward to this new Napoleon movie with Joaquin Phoenix coming out this fall, right? And I mean, all of this has happened before, too. I mean, he got deposed and he was exiled. They knew they couldn't do what they did with the, Mayor Antoinette and all them. So they exiled him. Then he regained forces, went back, and then they exiled him again further away.
Yeah.
They did that with the guy, Pinochet, remember, from Chile. So, I mean, we've been here before. We've seen this happen before, although it's all a little different sometimes. I'd love to hear from you though. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Thanks to Allstate Agency, Eric Boatner, Lisa Boatner. They've done a great job. You had an easy transition.
Yeah. They made it real easy. We switched over quite a few policies.
Yeah. Good.
To them, like our house, our auto and a couple rental properties too.
Good. Saved some money.
Yeah. Saved a lot of money. Got their quotes really quick and detailed, you know, and they answered any questions, and I ran into one problem and they solved it really quick. And
good.
So
good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know about the savings, but Angela tells me we've saved money because she takes care of all that. So
it was something like $2,000 a year, I think.
Oh, wow. That's good. And that's on our old vehicles. Imagine if you had one of those new $100,000, somewhere between, I don't want to get some folks mad, somewhere between $40,000 and $120,000 Teslas. That can add up when you get full coverage. Yeah. Like we've given up full coverage on a lot of our stuff because we're like, eh.
Right. You know, well, there's not worth it.
Yeah, older vehicles. Just buy it.
Yeah.
maybe go buy something else. All right. Anyway, Eric Boatner, Allstate Agency. Give him a call. I think you'll be real happy with the service. We really take a long time before we bring on a sponsor, especially when it comes to something like that. And they've done an excellent job for us so far. 928-774-8722. And it's been a couple of years since we started shifting stuff over there. 928-774-8722. Hang tight. Back in a minute.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show. You're listening to the Jeff Horovitz Show.
I want to remind everybody to please subscribe to the podcast if you haven't done that already. I've been putting a lot of extra stuff up there. If you're like, you listen to me for 2 hours, you're like, that's enough. I'm good.
Or maybe they can't get enough and they want more.
And that's where I'm going here. That's what I'm hoping. Please subscribe and share it. It's easy on any of your smartphones. You got a podcast in there. You just look up the Jeff Orvitz Show. Or on YouTube, we put videos up there as well. Look up Orvitz, O-R-A-V-I-T-S. And we just want to grow that. And we appreciate. And if the station's ever down or something like that, or you never know. It's still,
yeah, you just
there's
missed
still
part
something
of the
there.
Show. Yep. You can go back. Yeah, yep. It's so easy to do.
It is so easy to do. I want you to do that right. I'm not doing anything until you do it. I'm going to sit
waiting.
Here. I'm going to just turn on the music. Now the music ended. Okay, we're good. We're going to move on from that. I'd love to hear from you as well. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Let me get back to the climate change hysteria that keeps going on over and over and over again. And we've been talking about FEMA Administrator Criswell hyping up and just saying, hey, we need more money. We need more. It's all about the money, right? And, you know, Congress is going to be doling out the funds here pretty soon.
Everything's an emergency now. Every little thing is all, it's an emergency. It's an emergency. And then they get the money.
And then they get the money. And it's like.
And that goes for governors on down to the
local city councils.
Mayors and supervisors of the county. And they all do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And to be fair, I'd rather them have the money than Ukrainian Zelensky and his folks, the $113 billion.
We don't even know where it went.
But more importantly, I'd rather have a much smaller government and them getting none of the money or very little. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've gotten so far away from anything. But anyway, she goes on. She was on CBS Face the Nation or something like that. And as we're continuing to see the increase in these severe weather events, the dollar amount may need to go up as we go into next fiscal year. Of course. She needs more money. And what we're going to need to do to be able to continue to respond to the increased number of events, remember, increased number of events, is that that are happening across the nation. I mean, more frequent, more intense, that's what she's saying. Or is it just that the powers that be just feel they have to meddle in everything? Mm-hmm. They feel like they have to get involved with everything. So I think what's more frequent and more intense is their involvement in every storm, every incident, every tragedy, they've got to be there and have their hands into it. So of course they're going to want more money.
Well, right. And they keep doing that. And then the populace out there, they expect help. They expect, you know, the hand out. Oh, you need to be.
That's the problem too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's on them too for expecting and, you know, asking for help in every single time.
Well, sadly, I think that is going to increase because the as you mentioned earlier, the population of the world, the population of the United States has grown. Most people, many people live on the coast. They live in very vulnerable areas. So when a storm hits, let's say when a storm hits in New England, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. Or the Northeast in general, if a storm hits now versus say 100 years ago, or maybe even 500 years ago, there's a bigger impact as far as death and destruction of property, injuries, this and that, because there's, quite frankly, there's just so many more people living in these areas now. What I get concerned about is that's going to be translated to, see, there were more deaths, there were more injuries, there's more property damage, so we need to take these climate action right now. You know, climate action now on our plastic posters around all over northern Arizona, I see them. Or we need more money. You know, we need to have more power over your lives because look at that. When in reality, it's like these storms have been hitting. It's just there's a lot more people that are being impacted by it.
Right.
So, I mean, maybe locally you got to look at should you build right there? Or, hey, we're going to make your insurance premium so high if you want to build on that cliff. We talked about that. Yeah. Or the Outer Banks. You know, right now I think if you had a, if you got flood insurance and you were in the middle, you're like on the top of a mountain, you'd probably be paying the same amount as for the flood insurance as if you were living. We should ask Eric Boatner over at Allstate about
one,
right?
Can I get a quote? I have
something on top of a hill, all the water runs down versus somebody on the Outer Banks. I bet you it's close to the same amount. So they make it sound like this stuff's never happened before and it's the intensity is increasing.
Worse.
It's worse. It's worse. It's worse. I came across this article from February 11th of 2015 that referenced a study. And the, I lost the name of the organization. Let me make sure that I get this in there so that people can look this stuff up as well. course, I'm not going to find it now. WHOII. It's like they do oceanic stuff and, mm-hmm. and study all that. I'll put a link in the podcast in case I just messed that up. But they did this whole study on intense hurricanes. I'm going to read from it. February 11, 2015. Intense hurricanes, possibly more powerful than any storms New England has experienced in recorded history, frequently pounded the region during the first millennium, from the peak of the Roman Empire into the height of the Middle Ages, according to a new study. The findings could have implications for the intensity and frequency of hurricanes the U.S. could experience as ocean temperatures increase as, well, of course, they put in, as a result of climate change. Yeah. But I'd argue that the climate must have changed significantly since the first of the millennium, you know, from the Roman Empire into the Middle Ages, because the hurricanes calmed down. You're not seeing, well, every once in a while you get a big storm in New England, mm-hmm. you know, even up yeah. through New Jersey. Yeah. We see them, but it is much more rare mm-hmm. than if you're living in the Southeast, for example, or the Gulf area. They're saying anyway, hurricanes in the U.S. could experience as ocean temperatures increase as a result of climate change, according to the study's authors. You may ask yourself, because I just went on a pretty long rant earlier about how did they know we have such a small window into history. So, you know, how do we know what was going on 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, or whatever? No. It's really hard to. So what they did, and take it for what it is, I guess, is they looked at sediment deposits from Cape Cod, Massachusetts. They show evidence that 23 severe hurricanes hit New England between the years 250 and 1150, the equivalent of a severe storm about once every 40 years on average. Many of these hurricanes were likely more intense than any that have hit the area in recorded history. According to the study, that prehistoric hurricanes were likely Category 3 storms like Hurricane Katrina, or Category 4 storms like Hurricane Hugo, that would be catastrophic if they hit the region today, according to Jeff Donnelly, a scientist at Woods Hole. Oh, here's the name. I got it right now. Woods Hole Oceanic Institution, WHOI. May have done one too many O's earlier, in Massachusetts, and the lead author of the study published to in Earth's Future, a journal of the American Geophysical Union. So it's a much longer article than this, and I won't be able to go through it all. They're looking at sediment levels, layers, and saying something big came in, and there was mm-hmm. you know, storm surge, this and that, and they're studying it that way. So what is it then? What was that? What was that?
It doesn't count because we don't remember that.
Well, nobody remembers. Nobody remembers apparently what happened 10 years ago at this point. So, I mean, there's, and then let's go back to like historical tales. Every society, I shouldn't say every society, many societies in the world have stories of the Great Flood. Whether mm-hmm. there was South American tribes, there was, you know, you name it, mm-hmm. the Great Flood. Read Gilgamesh, which is one of the oldest literary, you know, one of the oldest stories out there, right? Mm-hmm. Noah, the Old Testament, remember? The old flood, Genesis. The ark. Uh-huh. Okay. So this stuff, there's been stuff in literature and through word of mouth about historic floods. The reason why I'm pointing out this is nothing new. They act like this is new all the mm-hmm. time, and it's just nauseating. And I don't know how people swallow this up and don't take the time to say, hey, let me check.
Yeah.
Let me check. This person from FEMA, this administrator, Criswell, she's saying here, this is more intense than 5 to 10 years ago, more frequent, more intense. This is not hard. We've got the internet. We don't have to go back in a time machine 5,000 years ago to check.
Yeah, we don't have to go study soil she's saying something samples.
Yeah, exactly. So I just hope people will start doing more of their own research and will try to avoid the hype and say, okay, wait a second. This just sounds a little crazy. I've been hearing this stuff for a long time. Is this actually true? Is this actually happening? I don't know. Your thoughts. Well, love to hear from you. I'm done with it.
People are into other things other than let me fact check this and let me check.
What's a fact check?
What I mean? Like the whole critical thinking idea has gone a little bit by the wayside, especially in schools.
Yeah, that's absolutely gone. All right. You might have just moved here from one of the aforementioned, the Outer Banks, and you're like, I'm tired of dealing with the hurricanes, or maybe Louisiana swamp somewhere. Like
Outer
the
Banks
bugs.
Is pretty cool, though.
It is pretty cool. There. I can see why people rebuild there.
I know.
I mean, it's fun to be right on the ocean.
I mean, maybe
looking
it's fun
there.
When you're just there visiting. I don't know if it'd be fun to live there, but it's fun to visit.
It's a trek.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
it is
out there.
On some of those islands, I was talking to one guy when we were riding it. We did all the islands and took bridges, ferries.
Yeah, all the way.
And all the way. It was quite the journey. It's a journey.
It was at least, I don't know how many bridges, but two car ferries.
The one place, the small island, the guy was bringing in some stuff to work on his house. He went to like Home Depot somewhere in Virginia or somewhere.
Well, and one of the car ferries, North Carolina.
Yeah.
One of the car ferries had the UPS truck on it, and he just like takes it every day and does his deliveries.
The UPS and FedEx are like, it's like a whole thing to deliver one package.
Yeah.
That's a losing proposition out there.
But it was a good day. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah. But anyway, if you've maybe moved from someplace like that, you want to get a great new home in northern Arizona. And just to let you know, we do get floods as well, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. You think living on top of a mountain?
No, you wouldn't have to deal with that. Rio de Flag still floods sometimes.
Yeah, the Schultz area, which has held up good since they've done all that work out there. So we'll hope it continues to do that. Anyway, call Kelly Broaddus with the Broaddus Properties Group, brokered by eXp. Kelly and her team can help you buy a home, can also help you sell a home. Maybe you want to go the other direction. You want to head on out to the Outer Banks, or like she was saying last week on the program, I think she had a kid that moved to Nebraska or somewhere, Oklahoma. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sold out, went and bought a bunch of acreage cash. Yeah. If you're in that position, you're ready to sell, Kelly Broaddus can help you out. She gets this stuff done quick. She's got a full team of dedicated professionals. She puts money into these things to help stage it correctly, to get the photos out there, to bring the people in. She's really dedicated to what she does. And like I said, she's got a ton of experience. Call Kelly Broaddus at 888-446-5602 or go to NorthernArizonaFineHomes.com. That's NorthernArizonaFineHomes.com. Hang tight. Back in a minute.
You're listening to the Jeff Horovitz Show.
There is always something special on Sportsman's Bar and Grill's $4 menu. Today's no exception. Go on over there. Remember, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they've got something you can get for $4. In fact, they've got stuff on there all the time, soups included. It's kind of been cooler out lately. I love getting their pozole. Great job on that. Fridays, they've got clam chowder. Sportsman's Bar and Grill has been voted the best sports bar in Flagstaff many, many years in a row. All the TVs for your sports action, usually some great music playing as well. Great drink specials as well. They make sure that you get great food at a great price. Sportsman's Bar and Grill. You might even see my family there. We go there quite a bit for a great meal and a good time. Sportsman's Bar and Grill, just north of downtown Flagstaff, right there in the Bashas Shopping Center. Stop on by, get some great food at Sportsman's Bar and Grill. All right, welcome back. Comments always welcome. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Appreciate everybody who does that. And keep that up. It's really easy to do. Just look up Horovitz on your favorite podcast provider. All right, how do you pronounce this? Charlize? Is that right? Mm-hmm. Charlize or Charlize?
It's Charlize.
Charlize Theron?
I don't know about the last name.
Charlize Theron.
Theron or something. Yeah.
I remember her. You and Olivia always got your feet on my side of the desk.
I have long legs, okay?
Jeez. My gosh. Charlize Theron. I remember her in that movie with the thing with the minis and the gold.
The Italian Job.
And then I think she was in
The Devil's Advocate.
Devil's Advocate with Keanu Reeves. That's all I can remember. I'm sure she's been around for probably a good 20 years doing her thing, and good actress. Uh-huh. I wish I didn't hear about these people outside of
acting. You know, I have no interest.
This is on the Daily Mail. Like, I guess she adopted two kids. She's originally from South Africa, adopted two kids, and you know, she's got one kid and they're out there, boy, you know, and wearing a 10 years old, wearing a dress. And she's like, he came to me when I was, you know, when the boy was, how old? Jackson is every bit as much as a girl as her 3-year-old sister. Yes, I thought she was a boy too. Charlize agrees briskly until she looked at me when she was 3 years old and said, I'm not a boy. This is what she said on an interview. Three? There's no way somebody at three makes these kind of
decisions. Solid decision.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's just, you see this all the time, especially the kind of weird Hollywood. And so she's got out in public with, you know, adopted kid who's born a male and just out there wearing a dress. I guess. But at three, I mean, kids, I don't even know what happens when a kid comes to you and, at that young of an age. And it's like, there has to be some kind of input is the reason why I'm bringing this out from, from adults.
Yeah.
There's not that kind of decision, right?
Do you remember back when our kids were three? I mean, did they even really understand the difference? I mean,
did they even have that kind of, ability to make those kind of, even know what that is, right? I mean, it's just kind of weird. I'm reading these weird stories all the time, and I think it's, I don't know. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Love to hear from you. It's just a strange world we live in, a little more strange than I ever thought we'd be in such a quick time.
The strange thing is just to okay, that's it. We're taking at their word. And I don't know this situation.
Yeah, me neither. I just see the headlines all over this one.
If they've tried to, let's go see someone and talk this out or whatever, if there's been any kind of, or if it's just, okay, and they
pretty much
put him in a dress.
Looks like what she was like. You know? I just wonder what's going to happen down the line. Like a lot of these kids, when they get to adulthood, or probably much further even, and you've heard a lot of people that have gone down this road, transitioning this and that, especially at a young age, minors I'm talking. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, what happened? What did I do? And a lot of regrets. So especially when you're talking, when people are accepting this as parents at the age of three or whatever age, I think the kid might be 10 now or something like that. Uh-huh. And you're like, is there going to be a lot of really upset and angered adults later on in life? They're like, what did they do? Because, and then you go as far as surgery.
Probably hasn't hit puberty yet, but will someday, unless they do the blockers and stuff. But I mean, boys are different than girls. That is a fact. And, you develop different and different times.
I don't even know who you are. You're just crazy talk here.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, at some point, though, that kid is going to, get the deeper voice and start growing facial hair.
Yeah, well, then they do, like you said, the blockers. And they do the blockers and all that stuff. And, it's just...
How does that impact the rest of their life, though?
I don't know. Crazy stuff. Anyway, I just found it interesting because it's just, you see it more and more. And it's just... where we are. I mean, just like I was talking about that FEMA director 5 to 10 years ago, the storms were much lighter and we didn't have this confusion. Mm-hmm. Apparently. I know we didn't have the confusion just simply 5 years ago. Okay. Some economic news when we come up. Plus, the media is starting to flip out over the next COVID variant. We go again. Hang tight. Back in just a few minutes. Gold has been a safe haven asset throughout history. Jeff Horvitz here. In fact, gold has returned 18% over the last 3 years and 54% over the last five, which easily trumps government bonds and high-yield savings accounts. I protect my retirement by investing a portion of my assets in gold and silver, and I rely on Justin at Desert Gold Exchange for expert advice on the best way to invest and to always get the lowest commissions guaranteed. Desert Gold Exchange, based right here in Arizona, deals exclusively in physical gold and silver, not a piece of paper. As a family-owned firm, Desert Gold Exchange keeps overhead low so they can pass those savings on to you. Call to get your questions answered or to request your free investor's kit with no pressure and no obligation. Call Desert Gold Exchange at 888-852-4343. That's 888-852-4343. Desert Gold Exchange, our family serving yours. This hour of the show is brought to you by Just Wireless.
You're listening to The Jeff Horvitz Show.
All right, welcome back. Hour two of the show. Jeff Horvitz here. Angela joins me as well. I want to hit on the COVID hysterics starting to ramp up a little bit. Will it be successful this time as far as masking up and alarmism that the media and the politicians were able to succeed? And the general populace, I mean, they if they didn't want it, this stuff ends really quick. You know, you don't even get off the ground with this kind of stuff.
We let that happen. I mean, dang.
Well, we didn't, but...
We
as society, the collective, for whatever that's worth, let the COVID hysterics take hold. They're trying again. I'll give you some details here in just a second. Plus, I want to get into my stance on aid. So, you know my stance on foreign aid, but my stance on domestic aid as well. You know, the government going into disaster zones, the government helping this person or doing that. Basically, charity from the government, which means transfer payment from, they take from your pocket and they decide what's the cause of the day or what constitutes an emergency anymore, a disaster anymore, because there's disasters being declared all over the place. I mean, Arizona, our governor declared a heat emergency. You declare an emergency, then it opens up to funding.
Yeah.
So that they can get money.
So then everything, the next thing is another emergency and on it goes.
It never ends if you give a moose a muffin. So I want to get into that. Plus, we got some fun stuff on the canceling when it comes to music.
Yeah.
You know, it's this one's interesting. Has to do with a Queen song. It's a good song.
Queen had some good sing along.
Yeah, you know which one. Ding, ding. Wait, is that the one with the, no, that's Bicycle.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is another bike. They're into bicycles, I guess. So, you know, we'll get to that here in just a second. Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Forgot to mention last hour about Timberline Firearms and Training, just 5 minutes north of the Flagstaff Mall. I think everybody should be taking some training courses when it comes to firearms. If you're new to firearms, you're in the middle somewhere, you're an expert. Timberline Firearms and Training has something for you. This is some of the best stuff out there. Best shooting range. I love going out there, climate controlled. So as the climate continues to change and the world nears an end, was it 2030?
You'll never know if you're inside Timberline.
You're inside, you got the AC going, you're popping off rounds, you're having a good time as it all goes down. They still have the special going on where you get, you normally buy an hour of range time. Now it's unlimited. Stay as long as you want. Within reason. I mean, they're going to kick you out at some point when they close.
Yeah, they do have a closing time.
Yeah, they do have a closing time. But you can go on out there and take advantage of that. And don't forget, coming up on Thursday, it's Ladies' Day. $11 gets you range time plus a gun rental. You just got to buy the range ammunition. Timberline Firearms and Training, just 5 minutes north of the Flagstaff Mall. Plus, call them to book some of their training courses, 928-526-7900. Okay, so the media is sounding alarm over the new... I don't know where they come up with these names. Eris? E-R-I-S? How would you pronounce that?
I don't know.
They should start having pronunciation on things when I look up these stories. Eris COVID variant.
It's like Eris to me.
Okay. Pushes for Americans to mask up again.
Didn't work the first time,
No. They worked this time because they've figured out how to make the mask. So cheap. You're like Darth Vader out there.
No, it's really what it's doing is starving your brain of so much oxygen that you become disoriented and you don't even know
I'm
what you're doing anymore.
To feel dizzy. I need some ice cream.
you lose enough brain cells.
I gotta take a drink.
You just don't care anymore. You forget what you're doing.
Whew. Anyway. Mask up time. There's a hospital back in New York. Hospital back in New York. I mentioned this in the a promo video I did earlier today. They are requiring people coming in and the doctors and the workers, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know where in New York it was. It doesn't really matter. You'd have to have your brain checked at this point to live back there or live in any of these blue states. That's why there's the mass exodus.
Yeah.
You know, people that didn't put the mask on and didn't fry all their brain cells, they got out. You know, they were able to get out in time. Yeah. But anyway, so they're masking up. So you got to go in there, see your loved one. You got to imagine working every day doing that crap. No. So here's what I'm wondering about. Are they going to push as we get into, because you know what's right around the corner. I mean, I know people can't remember much. You got the FEMA director last hour. We spent a lot of time on this saying that the storms are so much more intense nowadays and frequent and this and that than they were just a long time ago, 5 to 10 years ago. So we don't have a very good collective historical memory anymore. People can tell you, sadly, and I'm not bashing on you because I like watching football and this and that, or any kind of, you know, some professional sports. People can rattle off these stats and figures going back like 15 years for somebody's like
the
career.
84 lineup was...
I know. It's like, okay, that's great, but let's maybe learn a little history in the process if you're able to actually retain this information. I mean, we've lost that. But anyway, the masks didn't work. There goes my next strike on the COVID warning on YouTube and some of the podcast providers.
They won't work.
They're never going to work.
Yeah.
But yet they're still pushing this. Could you imagine? I question the intelligence of the hospital and the administrative staff if they're telling me, oh, this is going to, you got to put this on because it's going to work this time. That scares me a bit. I got to be honest with someone's like, they're operating on me and they can't put this together. I question. Yeah. I just question their capacity to do this. If you're telling me that this is going to work this time, it didn't work. It's proven that it failed. It was an epic failure, epic waste of time. My heart goes out every time I see some kid, and I still see him, especially in Flagstaff, some kid that looks fit to me. And I guess I don't know their individual. I don't know anything about him, I guess. But you would never see them wear a mask prior to 2019. Mm-hmm. And you see this kid that's probably 14 years old walking around outside with a mask. Mm-hmm. And like, that's what this government, that's what the people, that's what the expert class did, is they put in their mind this fear. And that crap's going to carry with them the rest of their life.
Oh, for sure.
The rest of their life. They're never going to get rid of that.
You can't undo that. It just...
Now, strangely enough, the new rounds of vaccine, the boosters, are coming out. They're still doing those.
Who's getting those?
A lot of people are getting them. So because they're coming out next, like September, October, they expect, you know, like we said this was going to happen with this, would be like the flu season. And every year they try to guess which variant's going to be out there. And then they've got, it's an income, it's a business. They've got an income stream, right? So they're able to, hey, every year I've got X amount of millions of people are going to get this every year. So that's what's happening. Next, I'm not saying it's tied together that all of a sudden the hysterics are all rising up going into the fall when people start getting the sniffles because you start closing your windows and crap, you know, and you're in close contact. You don't have fresh air coming in. You're not outside getting the fresh sunlight and this and that. So the next rounds of the boosters are coming out like September, October. Mm-hmm. So coincidence? I don't know. Get your tinfoil hat, I guess, and you tell me.
Not a coincidence.
Yeah, certain of that. So there you go. What will people do this time, though? I think less people will comply than before.
At least I hope so. I hope there's enough people with their head on right that won't comply or know that it didn't work last time and that there is absolutely no way we were going to stop that from day one. We are not going to be able to stop this from happening.
No, and is there enough people that it takes a lot of people to not comply to these government goons that come up with this stuff?
If they were to like, oh, let's do lockdowns again, you think people would do it again? I don't know. I mean, I didn't think people would do it last time, and they did.
Yeah.
But after everything that's happened and all the stuff that's been unveiled because of those lockdowns and all the harm that they know it's caused... I don't know if people would be
pro-lockdown again. And we're going into the primaries. I mean, beginning of the new year, you've got presidential primaries.
That was the next thing I was going to say,
politically,
I don't know who is going to do that.
Yeah, maybe. Is Biden going to be locked? Now, here's what I wonder, and we're getting ready for some longer trips coming up in 2024, so we're booking some airline tickets. I've heard rumors. I should have told you this earlier because I know you already locked in a couple tickets. I've heard rumors that, and this is just rumors, some headlines, some supposed inside TSA people saying, oh, they're getting ready to reimpose these mask mandates on planes.
No.
So I don't know. I don't know if that'll happen. I don't know if people have the patience for it, but who's going to miss their flight? If the government says you got to put on your mask to get on this plane, how many people stood up, first of all, last time? How many people are going to stand up this time?
We didn't fly anywhere.
Well, we didn't fly, but now we're planning on it. And, you know, there's rumors swirling about.
Yeah, if we have
a
ticket already and plans, I don't know.
I guess my question is, will they ever be able to do this again? And to what extent? Because I sense that it's going to ramp up and the COVID mask nuts and, you know, 6 foot social distancing lunatics are going to come back out. And say that, oh, this is the way to go. We got to try this again. Maybe they won't do 6. Like now we can do 4 feet. So, It never ends.
I just
ends.
Don't know. I mean, I just don't know if people put up it with it
know.
Again, especially
know.
So soon after the last. I don't know.
I hope that you are correct. Yeah. What do you guys think out there? I'd love to hear from you. Send an email or just comment right in the podcast. We love those as well. We'd love to share that. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Or like I said, if you're listening to the podcast, leave us a comment. Also, I have the giveaway up there. Talkwithjeff.com. Right on the top, you'll see a link for this month's giveaway. We've got Gettles High Desert Mechanical has put up a $50 cash gift card that you can use for anything. And then also Sportsman's Bar and Grill is $50 up there as well. I'd love to see some more participants in that. Okay, so back to... This ties into what we were hitting on last hour, which is the FEMA administrator saying, hey, I need more money. I need more money because there's more need now because the disasters are more frequent and the storms are more frequent. We need more money so we can go help.
Was
everybody.
That the one that Biden was replenishing with the $7
billion? Yes.
Because it was running low.
Yeah. So there was a $20 billion ask. Like a week ago, this was before the Maui fires, by the Biden administration of Congress.
I think this was after the fires.
No, this was right before the fires. Okay. I remember because I hit on this.
Okay.
He asked for $20 billion. And you dirty American people, you get $7 billion of that. You know, sent back to you after you sent it in as taxes, right? And the Ukrainians get 13.
Well, sent back to you in the form of
disaster. Relief.
Disaster.
Maybe after you paid administrators and all the other geniuses in cubicle heaven.
So you, if you don't have a disaster, you don't get
anything. No, you don't get anything. Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, you get a Sharknado, maybe. $13 billion of that was going to go to Ukraine. That's the ask.
Our
so,
best friends.
Yeah. Apparently, if
our BFFs.
Yeah, our best friends over there, Ukraine, where they're tracking all this. Intensely. They know where all this is going. It's not.
Oh, every dollar is accounted for.
Yes, it's all accounted for. Zelensky's not buying another mansion somewhere. Yeah. You know, it's all good. I mean, they're going to win it. They just need some more money.
Yeah, he had time to go to Greece, by the way, to go to like some meeting or whatever. The leaders or whatever.
I mean, of course. I mean, and they're going to win this. They just need more money. They're going to get there. Just, you know, keep your flag up. Keep your Ukrainian flag up. Have we become this dumb collectively as a nation and as a world? I mean, such suckers out there. Yeah. But anyway, for me, it's none of my business.
The $7 billion was going to replenish
beef up that,
this that, disaster that relief funds.
Yeah.
Right.
So here's my stance on federal. Okay, first of all, on foreign aid, I think it all should be cut off. If I was president, which I don't want to be president or anything, if I was president and I had the power, and I don't want a dictator either, so this is all, you know, just... A thought lesson here at this point. But if I could just wave a magic wand, I'd get in there and like 3 seconds later, I'd say, okay, I'm giving notice to this country, the aid's being cut off in 24 hours. Done. Mm-hmm. Cold turkey. Sorry. Mm-hmm. We got some stuff to deal with. Not going to work.
No offense. You're done.
You're on your own.
Yeah.
Done. It's like kid turns 18 and they've been living in the basement. You're like, okay, you're gone. Or maybe nowadays.
I don't know
like,
about 18.
Okay.
But, okay.
Like, when your kid's like 34, it's like at some point you just got to say, okay, here's his bag. Take your pillow.
Yeah.
I got to let you go at this point.
Give me the key
we
back.
We need to do that with the world, right? So foreign aid, whoosh, cut that bad boy off. Mm-hmm. Just got to rip that like a Band-Aid. It's going to hurt, but it's just the way it is. But I think, and this is where some people I might get a nasty grammar too, domestic aid. Gone. Mm-hmm. From the federal government. I used to be of the mindset that the federal government should be the backstop on the major things. Think Maui.
Yeah.
Think if this storm that was going to be the biggest one in history in 84 years or something that just rolled through California. Was that Hurricane Hillary? I think it hit as a tropical depression. Mm-hmm. Had that been landslides and carnage and this and that, and maybe it still is. I don't know. I haven't been following it that closely. I used to think, okay, kind of the backstop of last resort is the federal government, which means the taxpayers come in. We will all help out. We just have a little bit of socialism.
Right.
I am anti-socialism even in the smallest degree. You can't help anybody. At this point, I'm sorry to say that, but it's like if you give a moose a muffin, you know, he's going to ask for jam. And then next thing you know, the politicians, and this all happened, the politicians are then using handing out for the emergency. Oh, Arizona has a heat emergency because Katie Hobbs got all freaked out because it was 110 degrees for, you know, 30 days in Arizona. Who would have thunk that would have happened? So now we have a heat emergency because people need time to recover. Really?
Yeah.
Are we that stupid? And then they just start handing out emergency money like candy.
Right.
And then all these agencies are all, they're all there to help funnel
the state that hasn't gotten any, well, they're going to, sooner or later, I'm going to have my own emergency. I'm going to figure out something. I want in on the money too. Yeah.
So you're at war with heat.
All, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like, okay, I'm North Dakota. It's cold.
Yeah.
You know, we got to have a cold emergency now all the time when it's like, it's always been cold in North Dakota.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. So that's my stance has actually evolved because I used to think, okay, that doesn't mean I don't want to help. Then just I hope you're still listening and that you're not already freaking out and sending me some email.
Smashed your radio.
Yeah, whatever. I don't care. You know, but I'll get an email because I hear part of it and they didn't listen to the whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we don't help as a society. I'm saying we need to get back to, first of all, our families, our neighbors, our local communities helping locally first. And then, you know, maybe something happens in Winslow, let's say. I'm just picking a place, yeah. Right? And they can't help it. So then, okay, great. We can help you. Flagstaff and Williams and, you know, Camp Verde and Cottonwood, we're all coming together. We have a community in need. We can take care of this stuff locally. We don't need the feds coming in. You don't even really need the state coming in unless it's something where, and this is why the states have the State National Guard. Well, something happens.
Stuff.
Yeah, you do get a hurricane or something. Well, the governor orders up the National Guard because there's people looting.
Yeah.
And you need some assistance short term. But even that, in Maui, they had problems because then they couldn't even get in. So it can become extreme there. Mm-hmm. I would actually prefer that first we rely on the sheriffs and maybe your local police who know the neighbors, know the people. That's what we should have. And okay, we need the National Guard, but hey, the sheriffs are going to, they know the local community. They're going to kind of be at point on this. Mm-hmm. And hey, we need some help over on Main Street because people are running out with TVs and stuff. Mm-hmm. And we got to go take care of that. See what I'm saying? Local control, mm-hmm. local charity, local law enforcement, things like that. So that's why, and I got more on this, but I got to take a break. I'm of the stance now. First of all, foreign aid gone, should be gone right away. We don't have the money for it. And quite frankly, it's not our business. People got to be able to help themselves in their country, or else they're all flooding to our country and other nations in the West mm-hmm. because it's just become a hellhole because they become dependent mm-hmm. on other nations. And domestically, we just can't do it. I have a historical lesson here from way back. I would say the last politician who admitted that he was wrong, do you know what the date was?
No,
you just hold on to that. It was a while ago. This was the last politician.
I didn't know that ever happened. So
no, this did happen, but it has been quite some time. I'll give you those details in just a second. I was looking at the pine needles starting to turn a little. They get that little brown going on. It's going to grow as we get into September. And next thing you know, they're all dropping in your gutters. And then the next thing you know, it's backing up in your gutters. It's freezing and it's leaking in your roof. And then you're going to be like, oh, I don't have flood insurance or something like that. We covered that earlier. Look, here's a system that's the best system out there. Over 40 years of experience. If you don't want to clean your gutters anymore, you don't want them to get all jammed up this upcoming winter, which is going to be here before you know it, I want you to call or text Carl, the Gutter Helmet Man, right now. The Gutter Helmet system is not just this cheesy screen that deflects or that gets all the stuff, bunched up in there. It's actually a multi-patented reverse curve that deflects the pine needles, keeps all of that out of the gutters so your gutters keep running smoothly. Call or text Carl, the Gutter Helmet Man, right now. He's going to get really busy, so you should do it today, right when we go to break here. You can do it, take you just a couple minutes. Mention a Jeff Horvitz show. Normally get 30% off when you mention a show. Right now, you're getting 35% off. 928-318-6555. Call or text Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona, 928-318-6555, or go to gutterhelmetnaz.com.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
Gold has been a safe haven asset throughout history. Jeff Horvitz here. In fact, gold has returned 18% over the last 3 years and 54% over the last five, which easily trumps government bonds and high-yield savings accounts. I protect my retirement by investing a portion of my assets in gold and silver, and I rely on Justin at Desert Gold Exchange for expert advice on the best way to invest and to always get the lowest commissions guaranteed. Desert Gold Exchange, based right here in Arizona, deals exclusively in physical gold and silver, not a piece of paper. As a family-owned firm, Desert Gold Exchange keeps overhead low so they can pass those savings on to you. Call to get your questions answered or to request your free investor's kit with no pressure and no obligation. Call Desert Gold Exchange at 888-852-4343. That's 888-852-4343. Desert Gold Exchange, our family serving yours.
You're listening to The Jeff Horvitz Show.
All right, welcome back. The thing is that politicians never admit that they're wrong.
No.
I mean, they just...
They can't. They won't do
it. Even when you're just like, wow, you were really wrong on this. Yeah. They will never admit they're wrong. Unless they're like caught in the bathroom or something like that. That's like old, too. That's like back in...
No, when they don't just have, default don't do to the... Well, define alone.
Define alone or... You know, what is, is.
Yeah,
or exactly. Wasn't that Clinton? Was it what is, or what he had that weird legal, everything went downhill after that. Like
wordplay.
Yeah, total wordplay. But we're talking about how I don't think we should have foreign aid or domestic aid anymore. States, you need to go back to states taking care of things, but more importantly, your local communities taking care of things.
Yeah, because like certain charities, especially locally, people in the community can decide which charity they want to give to. And I mean, even though some of them still have a lot of admin fees and all that stuff, it stays in your community for the most part. And you can say, well, I want to give to the homeless shelter or the food bank or whatever. And you know where your money's going rather than giving it to the government. And they decide for whoever.
Let me give you a quick example, and I will get back to the last person, politician that admitted they were wrong in just a minute, maybe after the break. Sorry to string you along because time's a little tight. I've had two experiences with FEMA.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. Mm. I don't know if I can do this in a minute and a half. One where they leaned over my fence and took a picture of something and said that that was not right because it was in a floodplain. I'm still dealing with that one. It was really stupid. Another one.
Talk about invasion.
Yeah, and talk privacy. About not even privacy issues, but really, this affects nobody on planet Earth of 7 billion people, and you actually spent the time and money to come out. Now, the other one was in Camp Verde in 2000, just this last year, in when the spring melt hit, and we had you know, all that snow, and the flooding's coming down. I look in my neighbor's backyard, and there's somebody from... Well, they actually with the Red Cross, but they were contracted by FEMA to go out and assess all the damage. There was like five people wandering around my neighbor's backyard, and I go over and I'm like, "What are you doing? Who are you even? I mean, you're wandering around in rural Arizona, and it's just like no identification, no. Who are you people?" Mm-hmm. Right. And, we're documenting all the damage. I was like, what damage? There's no damage. Yeah. It did flood right back. There's the creek bed. It came through here. Right. And they're like, well, we're looking at this. Look at this line. He's right at my neighbor's backyard. Look at the line on this block wall. Look how high the water came up. I was like, that was from 2019 and you weren't out here in 2019 and it didn't cause any damage because that's the block and it's below below the floor level. So, they're taking pictures of it. And I guarantee you, even though I told them that.
That got reported
and thrown in a file.
Yeah.
And they didn't even know where they were. And she showed me a map, right? And she's like, oh, yeah, we're right here. And we started here. I said, you're a mile off. You're not even in the right. You don't even know where you are. Mm-hmm. How can an agency that doesn't even know where they are do any good? So that's my two experiences personally.
Yeah.
I had someone I was on the council in Flagstaff. But anyway. Interesting times. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. I'll tell you who the politician was when we come back, the last politician to actually apologize. If you want to go inside and block all this out and get some great blind shutters or shades, get those blackout ones like you're going up to above the Arctic where in the summer sun's out all the time. Yeah. Blind Brothers will be able to set you up on that. You can get your RV and get that all ready so you can escape all the madness. Angela and I worked with the Blind Brothers. They did an excellent job. We got all new blinds. They came in, they measured it all, they came back, installed them all, they work great, very happy. Mention a Jeff Horvitz Show when you call the Blind Brothers, get up to half off of installation in addition to any other advertised specials. Call the Blind Brothers at 928-634-2423. That's 928-634-2423 or go to theblindbrothers.com. I promise. talk about this politician when we come back. And more. Hang tight.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show. You're listening to the Jeff Horovitz Show.
All right, welcome back. Jeff Horovitz here. Angela's here with me as well. Love to hear from you as always. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Okay, more on this, why I don't think we should be doing, definitely not foreign aid. Get rid of all that.
Yeah. There's a couple of things to say about the foreign aid even.
Okay, go ahead.
And this is on a smaller scale than, like, you know, we're thinking of the trillions of dollars to Ukraine or billions or whatever it is. Billions, hundreds of billions.
113, so they say. Yes. Okay. It's hard to keep track of.
But you hear these stories about people who think they're giving to a charity that sends clothes to Africa or something like that. And, okay, maybe if you're giving it to, like, your church and your church members are literally taking it over and distributing it, and you know for sure. But these ones that you really can't track, that you don't know, mm-hmm. you hear about these stories that people will go to a market in somewhere, you know, wherever, like in, say, West Africa somewhere, and they see shirts that were donated, and they're literally selling them.
You know, for sale.
Yeah, they're for sale. Yeah. So your shirt that you thought you were donating to a needy person is really, I mean, someone's just making a business out of selling them there, but it's not the charity that you think that you're giving to.
No.
And it's like, I get it with people wanting to make a life for themselves, and, you know, they find a black market way to do it, and, you know, it's like...
Yeah, but this is very organized.
This is an organized thing, and people think that they're doing good, and... They're really not. It's not helping the situation.
It's not helping. You've made it worse.
And not only that, but you hear about, like, oh, we're sending over rice to these, to places that are, you know, they've needy and hungry kids, and you feel bad, and you're like, oh yeah, I want to send rice and whatever. But all that does is hurt the farmers who are trying to grow rice, and they can't compete with free.
Yeah.
And so you think sometimes that, you know, you're giving to a good cause, and some of them are, but unfortunately, some of them are not.
And you've got to find the ones.
Yeah.
You've got to find the reputable ones. You have to be
very
careful.
Pick and choose what you give to and you know, just make sure that it's right for what you want.
They did this. I've spoken to the guy who witnessed this in Africa, Jim Rogers, author and investor, a very wealthy guy, very smart guy, traveled the world. You would get these groups that would go around, especially this was happening in the East Coast a lot, but around the nation, they'd go around to especially church groups and say, hey, we need clothes. We're going to bring these to Africa. Mm-hmm. And the intention of the people giving is good. Don't get me wrong
right,
there.
Right.
They feel good about this, and they're like, okay, yeah, of course I want to help in that scenario. But what has happened and what's been happening for a long time is they bulk it all up, and then they go sell it, and then they go at the port in Africa, wherever it winds up, they sell it all to in big bulk to a business person who's going to distribute those. Mm-hmm. You know, so that person makes money, and then the person goes and distributes to all the shop owners, et cetera, et cetera. So by the time it gets to the market, it's for sale for $2 or something for a shirt or a dollar or even cheaper, right? And so nobody can compete with that. So the local, in Africa especially, the local garment makers and all that industry has been totally destroyed. Nobody can make clothes anymore because, like you said, you can't compete with free. Mm-hmm. And then it's happened with all kinds of good. People think they're doing good, but actually the charity, this is an old saying, you know, give a man a fish, eat for a day, teach a man a fish, eat for a lifetime, right? I mean, and I may word it a little wrong, so.
Yeah, and I was telling you recently, too, and this is more along the domestic side of things, that book I read, Cold Mountain.
Yes.
Remember I was telling you about that?
Civil War era book,
And I know they made a movie out of it, and I never actually saw the movie, but I recently read the book.
Yeah.
And I don't really get into, like, historical fiction a whole lot. But I did finish
that. Docudrama stuff, yeah.
Yeah. But the whole story is, like, a guy that got wounded in the Civil War, and he was in the hospital for a while trying, you know, they thought he was going to die, and then he didn't, but... he kind of just, like, got up one day and walked out of the hospital, which you're not allowed to just leave, you know, and go AWOL. And so he was afraid. He was trying to, like, walk back to his girl, his love interest. And which is in North Carolina near Cold Mountain.
Okay.
And he was afraid the whole time of being caught and being forced back into the war.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it tells the whole story of him, his journey. And along the way, he would, you know, see people that were trying to steal from him or hurt him or whatever the case may be, all these trials. But he would find people that would help him along the way, where it would be, say, a single woman whose husband was in the war or maybe died. And I need help, you know, with, you know, this barn, or, you know, can you help me, you know, lift this heavy stuff?
And
it would be like a trade out. And he'd be like, yeah, if I can sleep in your barn for the night and you feed me dinner, I'll help you. I'm happy to do so. And so he would find all these people along the way that would help another person in need. And I'm not saying that never happens now, but I mean, come on.
Could you imagine if someone showed up at your house and said, hey, I'm trying to journey and I'll sleep in your garage. And let me go paint your house. I see it needs painting. You'd be like, dude, back away from it. But you wouldn't even open the door. Dude, back away from the door cam.
Yeah.
You know?
And so, like, my whole point is that, I mean, that was just Civil War era. That was 160, 70 years
ago.
That's
like prehistory nowadays.
And that was like their version of charity back then and a way of helping other people out. Yeah. And people don't do that nowadays.
No,
you don't want to see it. You just say, I'm just going to give my tax credit to this or that. And I'm not saying that's bad or that doesn't help people, because it does. But it's just changed so much
from hands-on.
Relatively short amount of time.
Even worse than that, though, is the fact that people think nowadays, I don't need to help. Because, I pay my taxes and the government helps.
Someone else is going
to
do it.
I don't need to pick up that piece of trash because there's somebody that does that. Yeah. I don't need to do this, that, or the other thing because I pay my taxes and somebody does. And half the country don't pay the federal taxes at this point. It may be even more now. So it's like, but you're not even actually doing
that. Well, they all want the handout, but there's nothing in return.
Exactly.
There's not the, I'll help paint your house, or I'll pick up the trash, or I'll help, you know, slaughter this cow and get it, you know, processed for you in exchange for a hot meal.
Yeah.
No, there's no give and take. It's all one-sided.
Yeah. I know. It's changed dramatically, and I think it hasn't worked. So it was, let me get to... Davy Crockett is the person.
Yeah, I know you were talking about. Wanting to move on, but
No, it's a good point though that's how the attitude has changed in this country. Now let's go back though. The last politician who apologized was Davy Crockett. You know, most people aren't aware, but Davy Crockett, you know, King of the Wild Frontier. He was a frontiersman, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then he also became a member of Congress. He became a politician.
Mm-hmm.
And he got into office. I'm just going to kind of condense this story from memory and not read it from this long article I got in long story. But he got into office and there was a fire somewhere, like a town burned or whatever somewhere, and Congress was allocating money. They wanted to help. There was no safety nets for these kind of things. There was local charities, this and that. So of course Congress felt bad and they doled out, I think it was like 20 grand or something like that. Back then, that was a lot more money, but by today's standards, very insignificant amount of money. So anyway, he goes back to, he's going for reelection. He's going around the district or whatever. And some guy, you know, basically from the backwoods or whatever, some farmer, he comes out and he says, well, I'm never voting for you. I voted for you. I'm never voting for you again. That wasn't yours to give. That's not yours to give, that money. There's nowhere in the Constitution that says that the federal government has authority. The Constitution says what the federal government can do. Right? Here's the things you can do. Everything else is relegated to the states.
Yeah.
You can't do it. Federal government does everything nowadays. Yeah. So he told the guy, the farmer, whatever, Davy Crockett, said, I didn't think about that. You know, basically I was wrong.
Yeah.
And give me one more chance. And, I think the story ended because Davy Crockett, like a year or two later, is doing a floor speech. You can look up and read his whole, it's like 8 pages long speech that he gave. He basically told the farmer and his constituent that, you know, basically, if I betray this, I should be shot.
Yeah.
It was something like that. Yeah. I mean, imagine a politician talking like that nowadays, right? So anyway, something came up in Congress and they were talking about voting for, I think a congressman died or something and there was a widow, something like that. They wanted to give some money to help this person out. And Davy Crockett gives up. He gives this long speech about it. It ain't our money to give. No matter, I have sympathy for this person. Right. I understand what's going on here. I want to give personally. mm-hmm. personally give, translate
open
to
your
my,
wallet,
give till it hurts personally as a community. You come together and you give and you make things work. But he was like, as the federal government, no, no, no. And he shared the story of this farmer that came out and said, hey, this, I understand that the town burned down, but this is not what the federal government's supposed to do. So he basically apologized. That was the last time. I think it was 1823 or something, early 1820s. That's the last politician that I'm aware of that's actually apologized.
Yeah.
That actually meant it and then changed and then went there.
Actually did it.
And actually did it different.
Yeah, like followed through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's, looking back on that history, I'm like, yeah, this is not their money to give. And no matter, because you'll always come up with exceptions. You always say, but Jeff, the poor kids in, you name the place, wherever, there was this flood. I know, let's figure out how to raise money for them personally, mm-hmm. but not the feds, mm-hmm. not the government. The government shouldn't be doing this, because once politicians get their grubby hands on this and all the agencies, and look what we've got. Imagine what DC and the federal government looked like in 1820 during Crockett's time versus now if he came back. 100, this is just about 100 years, right? Yeah. Uh-huh. And he'd be like, yeah. Wow, you really didn't heed my advice at all here, because, I mean, we're giving money to, you know, to thugs in foreign countries left and right, and mm-hmm. then domestically we're doling it out like candy as political favors so we can get reelected. No more money. Yeah. If I could wave a magic wand, we have to cut it off and say we just can't do it. Now, I know some of you out there saying, well, wait a second, Jeff, we got things like Social Security, Medicare, this and that. We got to figure out a way for the generations now going forward to wean that system off. I'll be a little more generous than I am on the foreign aid, mm-hmm. you know, and all. And I know some people say, wait, I paid into Social Security. Okay, all right, calm down. Don't start keyboard warrioring on me just yet. It's unsustainable systems. We got to get out of all of that going forward domestically and figure out a way. And nobody will even have this conversation nowadays. People like you and I, our age, and even younger, mm-hmm. how do we get them off of this so there's not that anticipation that the federal government, the taxpayers are going to be backing you up for your entire life?
Yeah.
How do we get to that point? I don't think it's going to happen in our lifetime.
I don't think so either. I mean,
yeah, I don't think so either. But that's the world that we need to live in.
I think that's a pressing issue, but most people out there think there's more pressing issues than that.
Oh, of course. The more pressing issue is to help the orphans in this town and the this and that, and the government should help this. And, oh, I heard about this. They're having a problem with this over here in this community. That's the more. Most people will totally disagree with me. And at this point, I'm just an anomaly, and mm-hmm. you and probably a lot of you out there in saying that, no, they should be hands off. I'm going back to Davy Crockett. And it's like, it's not yours to give. We got to cut this all off.
Yeah.
And we got to figure out to, you know, you cut off the foreign aid immediately, but you got to figure out to wean all the social things off as well. Because here's what's going to happen eventually. I don't know when, tomorrow, 100 years from now, Roman Empire hung around a lot longer than I would have ever have thought it could have. They're just going to make it so it ain't worth anything anyway, mm-hmm. what you're getting. So how do we get back to the basis of the country where it was a representative republic, where we had good people in Washington, D.C., like Davy Crockett and others? Mm-hmm. How do we get back to that? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't see us voting our way out of this anytime soon, no matter how many promises these politicians make.
They all say this and that, and it sounds so great. And then nothing they get there. Ever changes.
Then they get there. It's all a money thing. You got to figure out a way how to, quite frankly, starve these governments of the money. That's the only way I think that this actually changes.
It might be a real catastrophe that really.
Yeah, it probably will be. And I don't know.
And that might be the only way they fix anything.
Everybody's been predicting that since forever, too, about the demise of the U.S. and the dollar and this and that.
Right.
Probably be right if you keep saying it long enough.
I mean, speaking of catastrophes, that might be.
That probably would be the trigger point on that. All right. I'd love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Read it twice before you send it. Whatever. I don't care. You know, it is what it is. If you get a rock chip in your windshield, remember to always call Diamond Auto Glass first. They've taken care of our family for a long time, fixing those rock chips, fixing whole windshields that got shattered from some road trip.
That dump truck lost a boulder in the thing
practically. We're hanging out the window the rest of the way home to like Ace Ventura trying to get back. Diamond Auto Glass, they will take care of you. Give them a call, 928-779-4140. That's Diamond Auto Glass at 928-779-4140. Or go to thedifferenceisclear.com. Final thoughts when we come back.
You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show.
Did you hear this one about the Queen classic, Fat Bottom Girls?
Oh, yes, yes.
Fat Bottom Girls, you make the rock and roll. You know that song? And they got the bell, or that might be Bicycle. Yeah. I can't remember. I get those two confused. But the Queen did a greatest hits collection for, and they're saying, oh, it's for younger audiences. They've dropped that song, which was one of their bigger hits from 1978.
Yeah.
And no explanation as to why it's not on there, but I would imagine that the term Fat Bottom Girls is no longer acceptable.
It's fat shaming now.
Yeah, it is. It is. But I looked at the Queen album. I can't put it in the video here, but check that out. Look up Queen Fat Bottom Girls album cover. It's a girl on a bike with a skimpy pair of like a swimsuit or
bikini
something, right?
Type,
and
yeah.
You know, it's not very secure on there. Let's just say that. But I look at her.
Very skimpy.
I look at her and I'm like, Fat Bottom Girl. This
That's
is like,
not a fat
yeah, it goes to show
all.
You just from 1978 how it's how it's changed.
Yeah,
and it's like I just put it on there, but it's kind of the rewriting of history we've been talking about, and we're just going to forget about that. I wonder which other songs are up on the chop block. Remember the song from the Kinks, Lola?
Yeah,
hello, hey, Lola.
Yeah.
Boys will be girls and girls will be boys. It's a mixed up, you know, 1970. Lou Reed, Walk on the Wild Side. I won't even say the, you can still hear him because I'll get canceled. You just mentioned that. You know, We take a walk on the wild side. It's whole, this whole story about the guy goes out and it winds up being this transvestite dancer. Is that still, you can't even use that. I don't even know if they use that word anymore.
You never hear that word anymore.
You don't hear that
it's
anymore?
So funny.
Yeah. Okay. Cancel.
I mean, that's
get multiple
way.
Strikes today, but it's all good. So Queen classic Fat Bottom Girls dropped from the band's greatest hits collection. I have the older Queen classic greatest hits collection.
You do?
That's we got that. I don't know where the CD went, but I have it on iTunes.
Oh,
I should re-download all those before it disappears.
Yeah.
It's like, it'll be something else. It'll be like, They'll AI the words in there or something, right? All right. Remember to stop by Just Wireless. Great specials going on in the East Flag location. You can get some great deals right now at Just Wireless. Also get your phone fixed, refurbished, new batteries, new charging ports. They'll do all of that, cracked screens, and plus a great line of refurbished phones. All right, we had fun today. It went quick.
Yeah.
It went quick. Tomorrow, I think we have Congressman Eli Crane. Speaking of congressmen, I'll ask him about Davy Crockett. Please subscribe to the video at YouTube. Start with Davy Crockett Pledge.
Yeah.
Subscribe to the podcast as well. We'll see you tomorrow. Take care.